Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, the invigorating podcast that's exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Well, it looks like this thing is getting some traction here, this podcast we've got going. We had quite a few reactions and comments on the last episode of our podcast, and it seems that we need to do a sequel here. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and don't forget, a great compliment to this show is the website at journeytothere.com. You'll find links to past episodes as well as show notes for each podcast. Hey, you can even learn all about the story behind this brainchild of Tracy's, Journey to There. And Tracy, you've been busy since our last episode, I hear.
I have been busy reading feedback comments that are amazing. Mm-hmm. It's so fun that everyone is piping up and chiming in. And I think, Russ, we may have hit a nerve with our last episode talking about paying attention to our inside voices and following our gut instincts. So I wasn't even planning on this, but since we, you know, got such a rip-roaring response on the last one, let's do outside voices today.
Absolutely.
And just really talk about how we process the outside voices, because that is just as important as how we process our own inside voice.
Now, just to throw in, if you miss the episode on the inside voices, you can grab that on the website, so you won't be lost, and you won't be lost even if you just listen to this episode, because Tracy's got a lot for you. We've got a lot for you.
I guess one of the things that comes to my mind, first of all, Journey to There, obviously, we've said this on previous episodes, but if this is your first one, Journey to There is all about the intersection between personal and business growth. And when I'm talking about outside voices today, I'm really highlighting a lot of the things that entrepreneurs hear when they start their own businesses or they're running their own businesses. And it also does definitely apply to just your own, how you interpret your own voices and when people talk to you in a way that's negative. But I have just heard a lot since I started my business that's over 12 years old now about things like, oh, being an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart, or aren't you fearful that you're going to fail? Or my very favorite, actually, is my sweet 76 and 80-year-old parents who still think I need to get a job. So whenever I get a big client, they're like, oh, are you going to go to work for them? And I'm like, yeah,
the default answer is I do have a job. Now, both you and I both are entrepreneurs, and I have to say that I hear more of the outside voices than my own inside voices, because it seems to be that everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got a voice on how you should run your business. And most of those people that are, providing me with their outside voice, most of those people have a quote unquote job where they are not entrepreneurs themselves.
Absolutely. But, you know, the reality is that entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. But when you hear somebody, especially when it's somebody that's close to you, questioning your motives or questioning the stability of your business, I've even had friends who are my dearest, best friends who have been, they will say things like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And in the back of their heads, it's translated, what in the world are you doing? And you can just see it on their faces. And then if I allow that to
happen.
You're crazy. Yeah. Why don't you get a day job? I mean, it's just, it's endless. And let me tell you something, Russ. One of our buddies in the radio business, he posted one of the most cynical comments from an outside voice perspective that I've heard in a long time. And he literally posted, if you give up on your dreams, you may get some actual real work done.
Oh, yeah.
And he posted that.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You want to know what I posted back to him?
I said, go ahead.
Wasn't your real dream owning and running a radio station? And well, isn't that what you're doing right now?
Now he's gonna want to be on the show with all this talk about it, because
I know we might have to bring him in.
as far as I'm concerned, he's living out his dream.
I know. And so when we actually talked about it offline, if you will, his whole point was that you just have to really work hard every day, and that you just kind of, even if you've gotten what you think the carrot is, that you just have to keep pushing yourself and keep pushing you to a bigger and bigger carrot field, so to speak, which I completely understand.
I agree with that. I agree that you should always have another plateau above you to reach for when you reach goals and segments. You want to have a goal to reach to above that. That's my opinion.
Well, and the reason I think I was so sensitive to it is A, because I've known him for as long as I've known you, which is 20 plus years, and we've worked together in the broadcast business, and he is such a hard worker, but he was always, even when he was like a 19-year-old kid, was dreaming about owning his own radio station. And now he's a 40-something old kid, and he does own his own radio station. So I was like sensitive to it because people who are thinking about starting their business or in the stages of wanting to perhaps leave a corporate job and start their businesses, when they see something like that, the outsides didn't match the insides. Like, here he is living his dream and he's saying something derogatory and cynical, like, get some actual work done. So we had to have a little, what do we say, contentious conversation around that. But I feel like that when my clients in my consulting practice, when they come to me, a lot of times they arrive or throughout the process, really probably more so throughout the process as they're working with me, getting more towards the action items of actually starting the business. They come and they're so deflated because their spouse or their parents or, like I was saying, their best friends, they don't get them, so to speak. I'm using your air quotes that you always like to use. They don't get them. And so they're so disappointed and they think that they've made the wrong decision because they were expecting such a large amount of support from the people closest to them. So I always say, you know what? If you're looking for the support, go outside your family support system and get it from other entrepreneurs because they're the ones walking the walk.
Also, on the other side of that, I do invite all outside voices. I do invite those people who are cynical because in one respect, it's always good to get opinions across the spectrum. And those opinions that might not jive with what you're doing in following your dream, those opinions can be used as fuel to either prove something to yourself or, you know, part of you wants to prove something to them. Use it as fuel for the fire to push you into getting to that goal you're trying to reach.
Are you basically saying that you're pushing to go, na 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 na, nah, I told you so?
Isn't there a little voice inside of us that's always saying that?
All of a sudden, I'm hearing Toby Keith go, how do you like me now?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that can definitely be a motivating force. And constructive criticism is so helpful. And I can't even tell you how many times I've been fed really nutritious, constructive criticism. And it's made me a better person. It's made me a better business owner. It's made me more motivated. I guess it's just like I'm so hypersensitive to derogatory things. But at the same time, like you're saying, I mean, you can't be a Pollyanna all the time.
Use it as fuel.
Right. You can fuel up the Pollyanna syndrome, but your business does need to be real. And so what I am thinking that I'm getting on a soapbox actually about today is that it's not what you hear. It's not the words that people are saying. It's how you internalize what you hear. I think that is actually the biggest crux of the challenges that we face. And this is definitely in personal and in business, because I was having a conversation with a very dear friend of mine, and this is going to ring really true with you because you are a stay-at-home dad, but he was a neurologist and he had an amazing successful practice being a doctor. His wife is a OBGYN, so, you know, they're on the fast track medically speaking, and they had a little boy later in their lives, which was kind of an oops, if you will, but a miracle, I like to call it.
Yeah, I would say that.
I don't like oops because I was actually an oops because I'm adopted, but hey, look how it turned out. So he was a miracle, and he decided to retire from his medical practice and be a stay-at-home dad, but he has been so struggling with what he thinks he hears from other people. And I was saying to him, I literally said this to you, I go, okay, so you could hear that you're a washed-up doctor who doesn't do anything anymore, or you could hear, isn't it great you were able to retire early because you made good decisions and you can take care of your child and enrich their lives? I mean, it's all based on how you take it in.
Well, it's also based on your circle of peers and how they react to something, because in some societies that would be like, oh my gosh, you did one of the most wonderful things that a father, that a man can do in life. And then in other circles, I can't believe you gave up such a prestigious, you know, occupation to take care of a kid. You're going to hear it from both sides.
You have, and all the years of medical school that you go through, I'm sure he gets that all the time, actually.
And I'm sure he does. And it's like, that's where you got to find that balance between listening to the outside voices and your inside voice.
He said that, of course, he puts it in such medical terms because I'm all about like, hey, it's how you process it on the inside and how you choose to look at it. And he goes, no, it's called depressive realism. You either choose to look at it as you're depressed or you choose to look at it as you're not depressed. And I was like, okay, so you're the neurologist. I'll have to trust you on that. I didn't know there was a diagnosis for it, but I just kind of prefer glass half empty, glass half full. It sounds a lot simpler to me.
No, I hear you. And coming from the perspective of somebody who left a very good position at a marketing company to be a stay-at-home dad, I have respect for that guy.
Well, I have respect for that guy because I have respect for the guy sitting on the other side of the microphone because he wouldn't even be on my show right now if it wasn't for those choices that you made. Thank you very much. Well, I say that. You probably would have, but we would just be having a different conversation. I adore you too much not to have you with me. I am going to continue this just a little bit forward because I can't get enough of it, and that is really what it comes down to, I think, is not only this whole glass half full and glass half empty situation, but it really fundamentally comes down to our ego. And our ego really drives how we hear things, how we show up for things, how we let things go. And in his case, of course, it was letting it go, like that attachment around that identity associated with the prestige of being the neurologist and almost feeling like he had to apologize for the fact that he didn't do that anymore. But there's also ego showing up in this way of false humility. And I don't know if that resonates with everybody, but I can tell you an actual true story because it's my story and it has to do with something that happened to me recently.
Let's hear it.
And it was, I don't even know why I did this. First of all, I would like to offer the disclaimer that I truly do not have any idea why I did this. However, maybe you can help me figure it out.
Okay.
So I had, I was in Minneapolis for an event that I had been working on for about 6 months with a wonderful client that I work with. And in the course of the days that the event was going on, I met this really wonderful person who owned her own business, and she had actually just gotten a PhD, super smart. And she was involved in this women's networking group in Minneapolis. And after everything was over and everything was said and done, she came up to me and she said, I'm really impressed with the work that you did, and I think it would be fantastic if you could speak at a conference that's coming up in Minneapolis here in the fall. And instead of saying, oh, that'd be great, thank you so much, I was like, really? Me? Like, you want, oh my gosh, I'm so flattered. Thank you for thinking of me. I mean, I was mortified inside, when it came out. I mean, I'm a Southern girl. You can't get beyond that.
Okay,
but
now you were mortified on the inside. Did it show on your face that you were mortified?
Well, let me tell you, it more showed on her face because she was looking at me like, seriously? Are you really not that good? I mean, my reaction to her caused her to second guess herself and wonder if I was even as good as she thought
right.
I was.
Now, the
and
thing
I don't
is,
blame her.
The thing is you are and you were good. Good enough for her to have that reaction. I think her surprise was more like, do you not have the confidence in you that I have in you?
I know.
I've got great confidence in you, Tracy. Do you have that same confidence for yourself?
Well, on most days I do. I mean, everybody has an off day, but dang, that was just, I mean, I was shaken up by that because I thought, okay, this is a teachable moment for myself, but also I need to translate this into how I can help other people because really, I was thrilled inside. I mean, honestly, I was thrilled that she asked me. I was flattered, but I was flattered because I knew she asked me because I had done such a good job. But why I chose to react like with this false humility, and that's why I call it false humility, because honestly, Russ, I knew I was good. I was like, but instead of saying, you know, like, all right, girlfriend, yeah, I'll show up. I'll rock that conference. I was like, oh, thanks. Really, me? And, you know, there's some balance between showing up and saying you're going to be a rock star, but do not in any way underestimate what someone has complimented you on.
And now, let me ask you, do you think you may have been overcompensating and you didn't want to react in a way that was, I would say, conceited? Like, oh, yeah, I know I'm good.
Well, you know, I don't know. See, this is why I'm actually glad I'm having this conversation with you right now, because I didn't really see it from the other side, because I think it shook me up so much that I was beating myself up. Remember, the last episode we talked about that invisible baseball bat? Well, mine was out in full glory.
But you realized it right away. I mean, did you realize it right away?
I did.
Like, was it one of those things like, oh my God, what just came out of my mouth?
It was one of those things where you go, oh my God, was that my outside voice? And it was. But it was the look on her face that gave me the awareness. That's what was the key. It was the reaction that I got.
This is one of those situations, because you deal with business owners all the time. And this is one of the, and this is not abnormal by any means, because this is one of those situations where you just need to practice what you preach. You need, for your business, for your lifestyle, the way you live your life, you've got to practice how you consult people that come to you, because
you are so right. Even if you walk the walk, if you talk the talk, you have to walk the walk, and then you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. And absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I think it shook me up so much. But like you said, I'm so grateful that I had awareness around it based on the shocking look on
her face. Here's a question for you, though. You got that awareness when you saw her reaction. How long would it have been, or would it not have happened at all? Would you not have realized what you had just said or the way you said it if she did not have a reaction on her face?
You know, I do think that I would have, but I think it would have been one of those things that I would have like gotten in the cab, gone back to the hotel room, replayed it in my mind, and went, oh my gosh. But gratefully, A, I saw it on her face, because I think anybody would have seen it on her face.
Well, I was almost going to say, you almost need to send her a thank you card.
Exactly. Like, I'm not being dramatic. It was really that awkward. And a thank you card is probably in place, although I think I would remind her of it again. So I think I'm just going to use it for my own sensibility and progress.
I think the big question is, are you still invited?
Am I still invited to speak at the conference? Well, fall hasn't brought itself around yet, so we'll still see. That's yet to be revealed. One of the things, though, I did think about is, when I did get back to the hotel room, though, because I had the awareness, obviously. So then I was being the Monday morning quarterback over the whole thing, and like how I could have done it differently. And I just had this like popping moment, and it was like all of a sudden I decided to name it. And you probably realized, those of you listening to the podcast and people that have known me a long time, everyone tells me I have these Tracy-isms where I will take a learning opportunity and turn it into a metaphor. So my new metaphor for what happened and opportunity to share it with others is that I called it my Taylor Swift moment, because I don't know if you remember, but when she very first came on the scene, and she was so amazing, so fabulously talented, and she would get these huge awards like Entertainer of the Year and, you know, multiple Grammys, and she'd be just like, oh, thank you so much. I can't believe this. Oh my gosh. And people,
now, how old was she at the time? You know, she had some life to live.
Absolutely. She was not 47. She was, I know when she was signed to a record label, she was 14. Right. So she was her own child prodigy. But I mean, you know, she was in her early 20s when this was going on.
She grew up
still,
quick, though.
And, you know, let me tell you something, because I'm not in any way bashing her. She owns that stage now. And
she does. She's learned from quite a few experiences, especially with some of the way these award shows have gone for her.
Yeah, well, she, you know, speaking of not listening to the outside voices, I mean, she's had some real literal experiences where people have been condescending to her on stage. And I really can't even believe the timing of the conversation that we're having right now, because I'm not kidding. I was, you know, for the listeners out there, Russ and I may do every now and then, if we have an extra minute, we might actually do some show prep. And I was, when it happens, it's a beautiful thing. And so I was looking, and I knew we were going to be recording, and I can't even believe that I was going to already kind of talk about the false humility thing. I didn't know how it was going to come up. I just knew it was going to come up. And then, bam, recently I had found this article, and it was talking about how at the most recent Grammy performance, now we're talking about a girl who has like 130 million downloads on her songs. She's won like 9 Grammys now. I read somewhere where she makes $1 million a day. This girl has no reason to have any false humility, and she has gone the other end of the spectrum. I mean, she commanded that stage, and at the most recent Grammy Awards, and she owned it. And she
let me just throw in a little backstory, because I don't know that it would have gone down that way. What happened was, back in, I think it was 2009, at a different award show. It was the VMAs. What is it? The MTV Video Music Awards.
Right.
She won a Video Music Award, and another artist was a runner, a nominee. It was, I think it was Beyonce, and who also is a very powerful artist.
You're right.
And what happened was, while she was on the stage, award in hand, back in 2009, Kanye West comes on the stage and basically grabs the microphone from her and says, I'm going to let you finish in a second, but I just want to say that Beyonce had, you know, one of the best videos, blah, blah, blah. And you can YouTube it and you can find it. And she's just standing there,
like shocked,
dumbfounded,
as she should have been.
In shock, didn't know how to handle it, didn't know what to do. And from that point, there was this, you know, she continued to become a huge artist. And there's been quotes that Kanye takes credit for, you know, she wouldn't have become as big without him, without that whole scandal that happened. And then come, 2016, she takes the stage and she pretty much owns the stage.
Oh, she was the first female artist to ever win the Grammy for the Album of the Year 2 years in a row.
Exactly.
And but I think the takeaway really for me when I heard this happening, and I so appreciate you connecting the dots on the backstory, because that's what is the good reason about doing show prep. I would have known those figures if I had. But you know, the reality of the situation is that she sent such a powerful message, not just to women, but just to everyone in general, that you don't really have to acknowledge what happened. Like, she didn't have to stand up there and tell that backstory like you just did. She had so much class and so much strength and courage that she referenced it in a most positive way by turning it into a message that she sent to her fans and to everyone out there, that despite what people say about you and despite what actions that are taken against you that aren't fair, that you can still rise above it and that you can still reach even higher heights. And I just, that motivated me so much.
No, I agree with you 100%. And the way that it ties in to the topic of today's podcast is just amazing.
Well, kind of a coincidence, although I don't believe in coincidences, but this one I'll accept.
Everything happens for a reason, they say.
Oh, so they say. Well, I know that if I don't tell some tactical and actionable things that you can do as a result of all these quote-unquote teachable moments I keep throwing off my soapbox, that it really isn't going to serve anybody any good if I just, you know, say, well, you got to do this and don't internalize what other people say and choose your perspective on how you choose to look at things. But to your point about walking the walk and talking the talk, that's so much easier said than done. Like, I can motivate, or you can be motivated by what happened with Taylor Swift, or I can hopefully be motivating to you as you're listening to this podcast. But real change doesn't occur until action happens. So I would just want to reiterate what you were saying to me, Russ, about having the awareness around it is definitely the first step. But then having the next opportunity present itself to try to do something a little bit different so that you can not have the same behavior. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm really searching for a sports metaphor here, so you can maybe like help me out. Right, but it's almost like you strike out and then you go back to bat. Is that a good one?
Well, the quote that just keeps popping into my head, and it's simplistic. It's learning from your mistakes, and going back to, you know, that interaction you had in Minneapolis. I'm happy to hear that you were aware of what happened when it happened, even if it was a signal from her facial expression, because there's people that I deal with every day that say things that are just inappropriate, that it's like, it sounds to me like you're saying exactly what's on your mind and you're totally offending me. You know, there's things that your mind is saying inside, you know, your inside voice, you just wouldn't say out loud because
you
could
lose your filter.
Yeah, exactly. It's detrimental to your business if you're an entrepreneur. The fact that you were able to recognize it right away, you're already over the hump there. It would be a different situation. It's like, did you not even realize what you said to this woman? You realized it.
Oh, yeah, I did. And then I realized it. And then instead of, you know, I let myself off the hook for it, first of all, because we're all human. We're not perfect, even though I have this whole perfectionism obsession that is never going to be met. That's a different topic for a different podcast.
That might be another two shows.
The article that I was referring to that I stumbled upon that connected the dots for me, it was an article in Inc. magazine. And they, not only did I see this, which I saw it right away when I heard and felt the message that she sent out, but the article actually was taking what she did on that stage out of the entertainment arena and pulling it back into the business arena, because they were basically saying what every CEO or leader can learn from the Taylor Swift Grammy speech. And I loved that they were able to make those associations, because I think that when people can read things and merge those two things and make them make sense to each other, then they can then see how they can have action. And action is what creates the change. So in that article, they were talking about that she changed the conversation. I mean, she, in that moment, with what she did and what she said, she changed the conversation for the whole media. So instead of people saying, oh, Kanye did this, and
right,
focusing on the negative,
they're talking about her.
Right. I don't think a PR agent could have done it any better. I mean, so
no, this is
a
happy accident. That's what happened here.
Yes.
It sounds like she would make a great candidate as a guest on your show, Tracy.
Oh, I would love to do that. Let's put that on the bucket list for Journey to Their podcast.
There we go.
And then, you know, as a result of that, even though it may or may not have been a happy accident, the other thing that I think business owners can take away is that she kept her image and her brand, because she is a brand. I mean, there is no question about it. But she kept that intact, and she left that stage as pristine as she stood on it, and she did not let that effective conversations be effective to her in a self-confidence way, but neither did she allow it to interrupt the momentum of the positive force that her brand reflects.
All right, Tracy, if you look through the window, you can see our producer is waving her hands frantically that we're coming up on the on the end of the show here.
Oh, but we were having so much fun. I was just getting started. My soapbox was getting taller and taller.
And that is why we look forward to everybody joining us for the next episode. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We are your hosts of Journey to There. Tracy, I think if we get Taylor Swift on the show, we'll pick up a few more subscribers.
Oh, I'd love to hear her perspective on things. That would be amazing.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.